You just shut it off.
I turned it off.
Okay. This button you got to press.
Yeah, but all right. There you go.
So continuing our discussion on a katan shehigdio b'yemei hasfira, someone who becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Sfirat Omer, he turns 13. So what is the situation now that he became a gadol, became obligated in commandments? Can he continue counting with the bracha? Of course, the assumption was he's been counting up until now, and we're assuming it's one big mitzvah like the Bahag. So we point, so it touches on a fundamental question. If you do a mitzvah in a state of exemption, and then later on you become obligated in that same mitzvah, do you have to do the mitzvah over again, or do I say the mitzvah done during the state of exemption counts? So we brought an apparent contradiction from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah by Ashota, someone who's temporarily insane. He eats the matzah during a time of insanity, and later becomes sane. The Gemara says he has to eat another kezayis of matzah, implying any mitzvah you do during a state of exemption does not count. On the other hand, we have the Gemara in Yavamas that a Gentile who converts with kids, so it's a discussion in the Gemara, but we pass in like Rav Yochanan that they do not have to have new kids. So even though they don't become obligated in Pru Ravu until after they become Jewish, nevertheless we see the kids they had when they were non-Jews counts as part of their mitzvah. You know, within Rav Yochanan, we have a further dispute whether the kids have to convert, but that's a separate discussion. So how do we reconcile? So the Minchas Chinuch, we went into a long discussion about this, give it to you in a nutshell. The Minchas Chinuch pointed out there's a fundamental difference between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. The mitzvah of matzah is a maisa mitzvah. It's an act. You're only involved in the mitzvah when you're chewing on it and swallowing it. Once you finish that, you have nothing left to show for the mitzvah except the stomach ache. So therefore, he says, when you woke up at 9 o'clock and you were sane, and so there's no remnant in the mitzvah. So therefore, it's like you didn't do the mitzvah because the act was done during a state of pitur, and therefore you have to eat another kezayis of matzah. But the Minchas Chinuch claims, this is a point of contention, but the Minchas Chinuch claims Pru Ravu is result-oriented. Obviously, you have to be osek in it, but you get the mitzvah when you produce the results. And one of its proofs is that if your kids die before you, you're obligated, obviously, if possible, to have more kids. So we see it's all about results. So he says that's the distinction. If we're talking about a mitzvah, which is an act, then it's a mitzvah done in a state of exemption is a no-go. You have to do it over again. If the mitzvah is the result-oriented, then what's the difference? When you did it, as long as the result's still here, then we can discuss that you still get the mitzvah. So that's a discussion by Sfiras HaOmer. Is Sfiras HaOmer the Maisa Mitzvah, the act of counting, which is definitely one aspect of the mitzvah? On the other hand, we know the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, is to receive the Torah Har Sinai. So there was a purpose to it, so therefore you hold its result oriented. So the Minchas Chinuch goes with the former, that it's a Maisa Mitzvah, and therefore he seems to say then that a katan cannot continue counting with the bracha because it's compared to the case of matzah and the shota. That's the Minchas Chinuch. Comes along the Turi Evin, another one of the later commentators, and he wants to make a different distinction. He says the distinction isn't between matzah and Pru Ravu. The distinction is between a Gentile and a shota, and someone who's temporarily insane. We're familiar with the principle we've discussed many times in the Talmud, the concept of whether mitzvahs sriches kavana, whether mitzvahs require intent. Of course, everybody agrees before you do the mitzvah, one should have kavana. That's not a point of contention. The point of contention is, if you do the mitzvah without the requisite kavana, do you have to do the mitzvah over again? That's the whole legal discussion. So it seems to be an apparent contradiction in the Rambam, but basically the way we conclude is, on a mitzvah min haTorah, we say mitzvah sriches kavana. You have to do it over again. On a mitzvah derabbanan, we're lenient and say, okay, since it's a discussion, so if you did a mitzvah derabbanan, a rabbinical mitzvah, without the requisite kavana, you do not have to repeat. Interesting, That shaila comes up during Svira in a different context. There's a urban legend, or is it halacha, that we know, instead of saying, let's say it's now I can say anything I want because it's daytime. Let's say it's at nighttime. You haven't counted the day yet. So the custom is, somebody asks you what the day is, do you say, yesterday was 25, or yesterday, why don't you say just the day? What's that based on? So it's based on this principle. Because if mitzvah strichas kavana, so then there's no problem. If I tell you yesterday's date, if I'm just answering your question, I have no mind to fulfill my mitzvah, so I could tell you that, I could tell 25 people what the night of Svira it is. But if Svira is, so that's the shaila, if Svira is Daraisa, if Svira is biblical today, so then you could tell people as many times as you want the night of the Svira until you count. But if Svira is Drabbanan, then we're afraid you already fulfilled your mitzvah. So since Rov Yishonim hold it's Drabbanan, so we go with Chumra, that's why the minig is, we don't say today's day, even though the post can point out, but that's probably only true like the first week. Others point out, let's say now we're counting, I think it's 26, whatever the day is, because we count, today is the 26th day, which is 3 weeks and 5 days of Omer. So when you just say today's 26, obviously, by the fact you're just saying 26, you're not counting days and weeks, it's clear from the act that you don't have Kavana. So some posts would argue, even if you did say, once you get past the first week, it's clear you didn't have kavana, you wouldn't have, and you could still count with a bracha. But that's the concept of mitzvah shrichas kavana. And then we have a concept of negative kavana. You specifically have negative intent. Like the Chasam Sofer writes, let's say when you daven Friday night, Shmona Esrei, you should have negative intent not to fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush. So therefore, when you go home, you're still biblically obligated. Okay, so we have the concept of mitzvah strichas kavana, someone screaming they're having negative kavana. And even more than that, there's another concept even further away, is it's called misasek, which from the word asek to do, but it's misasek. It's basically a person has no idea what's going on. In other words, basically, you could, let's say you could be davening Shmona Esrei and you think you're playing football or whatever the case is. Hope it's not that bad. But at least you think you're watching it. Right. But whatever the case may be, is Misasek is even less. Like this is Mitzvah's having Kavana, yeah. It's having negative Kavana, and it's not even being aware about what's... And that's what. And in terms of negative commandments, you know, it's a question whether you have to bring... If you do something when you're unaware, it's a discussion whether you need any type of atonement or not. So it's even... So that's what the Torah ever wants to say. The reason why when the person eats the matzah, what does the Gemara say? He has to eat the matzah over again because he's a misasek. He doesn't even know what's going on. He's temporarily insane. However, a katan, a 12-year-old child who's about to become bar mitzvah, we hope he knows what he's doing. We hope he knows he's counting as a mitzvah of Sfira. We're counting the days between Pesach and Shavuos. So therefore, that's what the Torah. When do we say a mitzvah done during... He doesn't get into whether it's result-oriented action. That's not his issue. His issue is like this. He says, when do we say a mitzvah done during a state of exemption counts? You don't have to do it over again. As long as you're aware that you're doing a mitzvah, that the mitzvah exists here, so that's good enough. But if you totally have no idea what you're doing, so that's why it doesn't count. So the shota has no awareness of what he's doing. Right. He didn't know he ate the matzah. He could have been doing anything. So therefore, he has to eat another piece of matzah. But the Gentile, he might not have known that there's a technical legal obligation of a Jew to fulfill pru revu. But I think when he was living with his wife for the purposes of the kids, I think he was aware of what he was doing. He realized he was having relations with his wife and potentially his wife will become pregnant.
But is that the equivalent to being aware of the mitzvah pruva revu, simply knowing that you're with your wife and you're going to have a child?
No, that's the distinction he's making between a shota and a gen. He's saying shota doesn't even know, he's not aware at all of, if you asked him what he was doing, I don't even know what the mitzvah matzah is, like he has no idea. But the point being, a Gentile, this is what the Turi Evan's saying, The Rebbe is saying, as long as the person is aware, he knows what he's doing at the time. He knows he's doing. He knows he's trying to have kids. So even though he's not obligated, he might not know that he's going to convert, or he doesn't know. But later on, that's the Turi Evans distinction. The distinction is between a shota versus.
I think there are three levels here.
Right, go on.
One level is where you're doing something you have no idea what you're doing at all. The second is you're doing something you know what it is about, but you don't know that it's a mitzvah. And the third is you're doing it and you know it's a mitzvah, but you're not yet high of the mitzvah.
Correct.
So those are three distinct levels.
Right. You're saying the case of the shoat is the case where he's not aware at all.
Right.
The case of the Gentile, he's aware that he knows what he's doing, but he's not aware that there's a mitzvah peruvu going on.
Yeah.
And the katan is aware of the mitzvah of tzvira, he's just not obligated, right?
Right.
Right. So, right, the Turi Evan, right, I agree. The Turi Evan seems to want to equate one and two. Yeah. And you're showing, you know, that this is still the. Right. So it's clearly a distinction between the two. The question is whether that. As they say, is that chiluk machalik? There's clearly a distinction between the two. The question is whether that difference is enough to make a difference in our case. So either way, so it comes out to be a machlokas turi evan and minchas chinuch. So how do we paskin? Does a child continue counting with the bracha or not? So Avaji Yosef, all you svardim out there, he paskin since it's a dispute. So the referee says, we go with the general rule, Safik brachos lahakel. When in doubt, we do the mitzvah without the bracha. So you have to continue counting, but don't make the bracha. And Rav Svi Pesach Frank and others quote the Minhag Ashkenaz that no, we assume that a katan can continue counting, and therefore we paskin as long as a katan's been counting while he was minor. So he could continue counting with the bracha even after he becomes a gadol.
Okay. All right. That got three.